You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Bob Wischusen and Chris Canty sitting in for Barton Hahn as we continue on an action-packed Friday here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And one of those guests right now to talk about all these football topics is our resident general manager, and that is Mike Tannenbaum, who at one point was a part of the Jets front office that was dumb enough to hire me as the radio voice. And all these years later, somehow, like a barnacle on the ship, Mike, they cannot scrape me off. I just won't go away. So thank you for helping me get that job way back when. And if you want to call up any Jet employees and apologize for what you've stuck them with all these years, feel free.
Great to be with you guys. And I must start off by saying a couple things. First of all, I find it to be outcome determinative that Chris Canty is on time because he's with you, Bob, and not like with Dave Rothenberg when he's constantly late. So that's the first thing that jumps right out to me.
Listen,
yeah,
you're not throwing me
under
the bus.
Rumor, I heard a rumor, Mike, that you were ready to go, and then the show wasn't ready to go, and then somehow you got blamed for not being ready to go.
Yeah, and Bob, you know, Chris, you know, thinking about like his great football career and some of the great coaches he was with, you know, I'm sure he remembers from Coach Coughlin being on time, so it couldn't have been Chris. So that gets us down to the knucklehead Rick DiPietro and our number one suspect, Dave Rothenberg.
Look at you,
that's
Mike.
Perfect.
He's taking shots on my guys right now. You're going to have some answers to do when you come on our show on Tuesday, because I'm not going to let them forget about this.
Dip. All right, play the tape on Tuesday. I'm going to get up and listen on Tuesday morning as Mike Tannenbaum joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. So thank you for, first of all, the jumping off point, taking shots on Chris's guys. I love that. And second of all, Mike, we wanted to have you on because you sit right now at the intersection of a lot of these NFL stories because you've been in that chair. So the obvious jumping off point is Deshaun Watson. And now this legal trouble element to the story of his availability or maybe lack thereof with Houston. So I guess let's take it from the standpoint of the teams that might be buyers for Deshaun Watson. Take us inside the room and what the conversation is right now around that conference table when everyone now is not only weighing the compensation you'd have to give up to get Deshaun Watson, but now how the legal troubles potentially factor into how you approach it as an organization.
Yeah, it's really an interesting situation because Deshaun Watson has a pristine reputation, really just impeccable going back to college. And these are serious allegations, one of which have to be, you know, thoroughly investigated and looked into. And it's kind of one of these situations, guys, where you want to remain interested. You want to do all your homework. You want to make sure that everybody knows that you're interested, but you have to proceed with caution. And it just seems like, unfortunately, the story doesn't get better. It seems to be going the other way. And when the league gets involved and becomes a league investigation, really all bets are off because I think this bears repeating, guys, which is the standard for a player to be suspended by the league is lower than a criminal standard. And because of that, really all bets are off until this investigation is completed.
Mike, so earlier this week, the Texans decided to sign Tyrod Taylor. And in my mind, that was the first indicator that they thought that there might be a chance that they have to move off of Deshaun Watson this offseason, that he might not ever play for them. What happens if the Houston Texans decide that they want to make a deal before this upcoming draft because they want draft picks at the end of April, and the investigation by the NFL or the civil suit that has been filed in Harris County hasn't been resolved by that point? If you're a general manager, would you still consider making the decision to trade for Deshaun Watson, even though you don't have a definitive conclusion on those fronts?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult, Chris. I think if it's a civil suit, you probably could go move forward because let's face it, you know, civil suits happen often, But I would not be comfortable as a GM, Chris, trading for Deshaun Watson and giving up the, you know, sort of compensation it would take without knowing that he was cleared either criminally or, you know, in terms of these are just allegations that there were no charges were pressed against him, or if the league investigated and cleared him. So the timelines may not match up, and I think the Tyrod Taylor signing is becomes even more consequential.
Mike, taking a look at the wide receiver marketplace this free agency cycle, it's really slow moving. And I was trying to figure out, is this just a result of the salary cap going down and teams having less resources to spend? Or is this a market correction at the receiver position because of all the prolific receivers that you're getting in the draft throughout the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, Chris, to me, it's definitely more of the latter. You know, I think we could go into the third round of this year's draft and get a really good receiver. You know, we're not even talking about guys like Dwayne Eskridge, who really flashed at the Senior Bowl, for example, because we're so focused on Jalen Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith. So I think if you're a team, I think it kind of played out where teams sort of revealed their draft boards this week, which is not a lot of pass rushers. So they all got signed from Shaq Barrett to Bud Dupree and so on. And we're seeing good football players like Kenny Galladay and Juju Smith-Schuster still without a job, and even though we're a couple days into free agency.
Hey, Mike, back to the quarterbacks for a second. Andy Dalton signs in Chicago. Ryan Fitzpatrick now in Washington. As Chris brought up, even if the Deshaun Watson thing ends up playing out the way we think it's going to play out, Tyrod Taylor signing in Houston. Maybe he's not quite the stopgap one-year option that these other guys are, but are you surprised that the way it's being portrayed, whether it's a Russell Wilson possibility or maybe a team's, you know, quote-unquote, now no longer an option for the Jets with a Sam Darnold trade, that it's being at least publicly portrayed that Chicago and Washington are now out of the quarterback business because they've got their guys. If you had signed those two players, would you as a general manager still be open to throwing the kitchen sink at Seattle or maybe entertaining a Sam Darnold trade? Because I can't imagine a general manager looks at Dalton or Fitzpatrick as anything more than a one-year option.
Yeah, Bob, I think that's a totally fair point, especially when we talk about Chicago, because I think we can make a really good argument that when you just look at it fairly and objectively, that Mitch Trubisky outplayed Andy Dalton a year ago, and he's 5 years younger. So I'm not so sure that Chicago even upgraded him. And if you could get a transformational player like a Russell Wilson, it's an absolute no-brainer. You know, we've talked about this a lot, you know, on Chris's show. We've talked about it on Get Up, which is if I'm Chicago and John Schneider and Pete Carroll, the Seahawks, call me, I literally, Bob, don't get off the phone. I'm getting a deal done because you can't overpay for greatness, and Russell Wilson is a great player. And I don't care how many picks it takes because Tom Brady taught us that last year that plenty of people are going to good players are going to want to play with Russell Wilson in Chicago.
Mike, do you think he gets
Do you think this ultimately ends up Sorry, CeCe, go ahead.
No, Mike, do you think that Russell Wilson ultimately gets dealt this offseason?
You know, Chris, here's what's interesting to me is I made this point on Get Up this morning. If we go back to a couple of weeks ago or about 6 weeks now, Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, it's a beautiful mystery about my future. And within 24 hours, Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, comes out and says, hey, we're not idiots. Aaron Rodgers is going nowhere. And why hasn't Pete Carroll or John Schneider of the Seahawks said the same thing about Russell Wilson? You know, Pete Carroll is active on Twitter. Like, this could be over in 10 seconds. So we can't ignore that. With that said, they would have a $39 million cap charge if they would trade him. So those two things to me are really hard to reconcile. But until we hear different, I think this thing's still alive.
Mike, looking at the quarterbacks in the draft, I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. But there's a lot of conversation about who that second quarterback is or what the Jets are going to do with the second overall pick. If you're the general manager of the New York Jets, what are you doing with that pick?
I'm taking Zach Wilson. I'm moving on from Sam Darnold, and candidly, I don't think it's a hard decision. If we had Sean McDermott on this call with us and he was looking at it as a defensive coach, he would tell us it's a lot harder to defend somebody like Zach Wilson than Sam Darnold. And, look, Sam Darnold's done some good things. I think he's been in a really hard situation. I think he would benefit from a fresh start. But I think, to me, the better football player is Zach Wilson.
And you've saw enough of Zach Wilson playing against the BYU schedule Like when you're breaking film down, how is it that you take level of competition and maybe even the fact that he's not throwing to NFL wide receivers on his own team into account? What are you looking for to convince yourself that, yes, Zach Wilson is what we think he is, even if he's not in that Mac Jones situation where we're seeing him throw against NFL-level secondary-type players to NFL wide receivers?
Yeah, and that's a fair point, but I would just say based on his athleticism, his accuracy, I saw him in person in the Boca Raton Bowl, and I just think he has a chance to be special based on his measurables, his intangibles, his athleticism, his accuracy. And if you go back and look at Sam Darnold going back to USC where he threw 22 interceptions, he has 39 in the pros, 7 more fumbles. And I think, you know, over a five-year period, you could say that, you know, that's been a problem. So I just think it's a combination of Zach Wilson's ceiling and Sam Darnold's inconsistency.
Mike, yesterday the NFL announced that it had entered into new agreements with their television partners on media rights deals. I think the agreement kicks in on 2023 and it runs through 2033. Your thoughts on the amount of money that the NFL was able to command for its properties, and how does that affect how general managers move in off seasons to come?
Yeah, first of all, I think it's just remarkable that we're all fortunate guys to be around a product that remains so valuable and so in demand. And I think I saw something where like 71 of the top 100 shows of the past year were NFL games, and that number would have been higher but for presidential debates. So I think we're all really lucky about that. And I thought Commissioner Goodell's comments were interesting about him embracing gambling, and I think that's going to impact the salary cap materially in years to come, and hopefully this is just a one-year setback because of the pandemic, and hopefully we could get back to normal pretty quickly.
Mike Tannenbaum is with us here. Bob Oeschhuizen sitting in with Chris Canty, Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Your take on Bill Belichick flooding the market, becoming dollar bill with his money, and doing something that he has never done before, and that is go out and really be the lead dog in the free agent market. What was your take?
You know, a couple of thoughts come to mind. First of all, I think they're all sort of things that we know he believes in, which is tough, durable, smart, versatile players. Guys like Jalen Mills can play, you know, safety and corner. You look at Bourne and Aguilar. They played 455 snaps in the slot last year. So there's a lot of versatility. And then when you get those two tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, that plays to Cam Newton's strength. So I think he was trying to be opportunistic and improve his football team.
My conflicting reports.
Do you like it, though?
I do. I think they closed the gap materially with Buffalo.
Mike, we've got a lot of different reports coming out of Philadelphia. I mean, a few weeks ago, Jeffrey Lurie, it seemed like he was leaning toward his team or telling his general manager to take a quarterback with the 6th overall pick. Then we had Howie Roseman come out this week, their general manager, and say that Jeffrey Lurie just instructed them to improve the team. So there's a lot of, ambiguity around what the Philadelphia Eagles are going to do with that 6th overall pick. Do you think it's off the table that they would take a quarterback with that selection?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Bob, don't feel bad interrupting Chris. You should hear it on Tuesday morning. Poor guy can't get a word in edgewise between.
I'm trying to be empathetic to what he has to go through on his show normally, so I'm trying not to do it to him because I know it happens to him all the time.
But, no, in all seriousness, I think where Philadelphia deserves credit, guys, is, you know, 3 years ago, they don't win the Super Bowl without Nick Foles. You know, they did a great job, candidly, much better than I did it in my career at the backup quarterback position. And, you know, that's something I look back at and something that I know I could have done a better job at. And Jalen Hurts, guys, he's completed 77 passes. And I made this point on GetUp, which is it's like learning how to drive a car for a month and a half and then giving your teenager a Ferrari and saying, hey, go in the left-hand lane, you're good. You know, the only grade we could really give Jalen Hurts is a grade of incomplete. He may be the answer, but knowing that there's very few quarterbacks in the 2022 draft, if you're Philly and you're sitting there and there's a good starter at 6, I think it's irresponsible to pass that player up because you don't know what you have. And one of your core philosophies has always been, hey, we're going to have great depth at the quarterback position, and I just don't think they could pass that up.
Mike, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, guys.
All right, it's Mike Tannenbaum, our resident GM, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And, CeCe, just a couple of reactions to what he said. I think he's right. I don't know if you agree. I was stunned when the Carson Wentz trade happened that the narrative was they've moved on from Carson Wentz, but they're good. They've got Jalen Hurts. Have we seen even a sliver of enough from Jalen Hurts for an Eagles fan to sit there and go, you know, we're good at quarterback. Here's our new franchise quarterback. Wentz out, Hurts in, and we're good. I can't imagine the Eagles aren't looking at this year's draft still thinking about quarterback.
No, I'm with you on that one, Bob. I'm not ready to anoint Jalen Hurts as their future franchise guy. I mean, it's such a small sample size. It's only four games. If there's a quarterback at the sixth overall pick that the Philadelphia Eagles like, then I think, like Mike Tannenbaum said, I think it's irresponsible not to take that player, just because I think raising the competition and the overall talent level in that position room, I think it only makes your football team better. I mean, so I just look at it from the standpoint of having multiple pathways to be able to find a quarterback that you believe in over the next decade plus is something of tremendous value, especially where the Eagles are at right now, because no matter where they go with the sixth overall pick, this team is not going to compete for a division title in 2021. It's just not going to happen. Like, they've got a lot of work that they need to do with this roster. So, to me, trying to figure out who's going to be the cornerstone for your quarterback position moving forward is one of the most important questions that they could answer this upcoming year.
All right, well, I think I've heard you answer this question before, but I'm going to put you on the spot and have you answer it again. Back to Darnold for a second and the Jets. Give people that might, you know, around the country might not be familiar with the DCR show on 98.7 ESPN in New York that's basically on from, like, the minute everybody goes to bed until they're finally set their alarms up in the morning. What is your take on the second pick in the draft, what the Jets should do, and where Sam Darnold should end up next year? What would you do if you were the Jets with Darnold?
Well, here's the thing. I think I can speak for the other two guys on my show. It's unanimous. We all think that the Jets should move off of Sam Darnold, and they should draft a quarterback. Now, whether that's Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance, I'll leave that up to Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh. But from a monetary standpoint, you have an opportunity to reset the clock with the money at that position. So that makes sense. And I think that fits better with the timeline in terms of when your football team will be ready to compete for a division title. Because when you look at the landscape of the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills got better this offseason. The Miami Dolphins are a double-digit win team that's knocking on the door of the playoffs. And the New England Patriots got a lot better this offseason. So I know it's early on, but it just feels like the Jets have a long way to go in terms of being able to compete with those other three teams. So it just seems like it makes sense for them to go a different direction with the quarterback spot.
Well, resetting the financial clock is a big deal. I totally agree. And that is a very tempting thing to take into consideration here. But do you want to reset the financial clock and get a new rookie in and start over because you think that's the best way for the organization to kind of reshape itself? Or do you want to get rid of Darnold because you think Darnold can't play?
Well, here's the thing. We don't know if Darnold can play or not. And so I look at the opportunity cost, and it's like, okay, if you decide to pass – on taking a quarterback at two and Sam Darnold turns out not to be your guy, what does that second overall pick turn into? Or what does that quarterback that's being taken with that selection, what does that guy turn into? I think that's something that you have to think about if you're Joe Douglas, because again, when you look at the opportunities that you're going to have to improve the talent at that position, if you pass on a quarterback this year, you might not necessarily be in position to draft the guy that you like in the 2022 draft. So I just feel like you're talking about taking a huge risk if you decide to forego any of these quarterbacks this upcoming draft and take Sam Darnold, a guy that we've seen over 3 years, and he's got more turnovers than he does passing touchdowns.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. This is what I hear when I listen to you guys, and I'll get, you know, kind of give the Reader's Digest version, do I think, for folks out of New York, what they might hear with you guys during the season if they were in New York. Adam Gase stinks. Everything's his fault. The offensive line is terrible. He has no skill position players. Le'Veon Bell gave them nothing. They couldn't run the ball. He had to run around for his life and just try to find Jamison Crowder because he was the only guy on the field that could make a play, and he was totally hung out the dry for 3 years. But then at the end of all of that, when it comes time to make a decision on Sam Darnold stinks, and we have to move on from him because he can't play. And my take is, well, if all of that stuff piled up on Sam Darnold for 3 years that you guys talked about over and over again, why is the door not open for finally giving this kid a chance to play with a supporting cast, which it seems now with some of the free agent signings and Mekhi Becton last year in the draft, they seem to be committed to doing. They're certainly setting up the next quarterback for a lot more success than they ever had Sam Darnold set up for these past 3 years.
Well, here's the thing about it, Bob. We don't know how much of this was Sam Darnold's fault and how much of his shortcomings were organizational failures. Like, we don't know. Now, I can say that it doesn't help when you decide that you're going to fire the head coach after your quarterback's rookie season, or you're going to fire the general manager that drafted your quarterback going into his second season, going into your third head coach in your fourth year. None of those things help Sam Darnold. But even with that being said, we still don't know if you stabilize the franchise, whether or not he can do the job. And so for that reason, if you have a conviction on one of these young guys, I think you have to go that route, because whatever Joe Douglas decides to do at two, whoever his quarterback is, week one of 2021, that is going to be the quarterback that ultimately decides his fate as the general manager of the New York Jets. He's going to be married to that person, whether he drafts a guy or whether he sticks with Sam Darnold. And my thing is this: if you stick with Sam Darnold, that's got to be an uncomfortable position for Joe Douglas to be in, based on what we've seen from Sam Darnold on tape the last 3 years.
That's Chris Canty. I'm Bob Wischusen, and I've got a little bit of insight, I think, into how the Jets are thinking about this. We'll get into that a little bit later on as well, and your telephone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN. Over the years, you've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. The sports landscape is ever-changing. This week, no different. Luckily for all of us sports fans, DraftKings still has daily fantasy contests running for those that look to have skin in the game. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. Just draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, and then sit back and watch the points pile up. DraftKings is the leader in a daily sports fantasy. So there's no better place to get in on all of the action. Now you know how to play. Download the DraftKings app. Sign up using the code BART. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's BART, and you get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. How about the note from Adam Schefter, by the way? According to league sources that he's hearing from, Juju Smith-Schuster returns to the Steelers. That is a major upset. Not sure that any of us saw that coming. We'll talk about that as well when we come back. Bob Wischusen, Chris Canty, and for Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bob Wischusen, Chris Canty, and on Bart and Hahn here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Well, Adam Schefter tweeting about Juju Smith-Schuster returning to Pittsburgh, and he also tweeted the interesting part, and I agree with him. This is the interesting part. According to our own Adam Schefter, it's a one-year deal with the Steelers. Juju Smith-Schuster goes home, but the Ravens made a hard push to sign him, and he wound up taking significantly less money to go back to the Steelers, per Adam's sources. So, CeCe, what do you make of that? I mean, look, it might be hard to trade that black and gold for that purple and white and go to the other side of what right now might be the most bitter rivalry in the NFL, but to take a lot less money to go home for 1 year? Are you surprised Juju Smith-Schuster returns to Pittsburgh?
Not when his other option was the Baltimore Ravens, man. I'll say this, and I play for the Ravens. It's a class organization. But that rivalry that they have with the Steelers, there's no might about it. That is the best rivalry in all of pro football. And you just can't take off one of those uniforms and put the other one on. Like, it goes against your DNA to do something like that. So, like, I can completely understand Juju on a one-year proposition deciding to go back to Pittsburgh. It's better to deal with the devil that you know than the devil that you don't, and have an opportunity to play this year, system he's familiar with, try to have a big season and set himself up to have a better free agency when the cap goes up a little bit in 2022.
Well, on the Goodyear Hotline, joining us right now is Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, also played at USC. So there's the hook, the connection with Juju Smith-Schuster, and of course, Sam Darnold was his quarterback for part of the time he was there as well, so we'll talk to him about that. But Michael Pittman Jr., thanks a lot for joining Bob Wischusen and Chris Canty here on ESPN Radio. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Hey, you know, it's interesting. When you are in the position you're in and you see the free agents all trying to find a home at wide receiver in the NFL, and even Juju Smith-Schuster goes back to Pittsburgh for on a one-year deal. How much does that surprise you playing that position?
I mean, just knowing who Juju is, he has a lot of loyalty to his team. So that doesn't really shock me, because that's just like how he is, like as a person.
Michael, when you first go ahead.
No, go ahead, CeCe.
Michael, when you first heard the news about Carson Wentz being traded for, what was your initial reaction, and what's been your interactions with him since he's become your quarterback?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Absolutely. I was super excited, because up until that point, I didn't know who our quarterback was going to be. So I was super excited to hear that it was Carson, because him and Reich have like such a good relationship, and they're just comfortable with one another. So when I heard that it was him, like, I was excited because I think that he is a MVP caliber player, and I think that he's going to show everybody this year. And then getting with him, I actually, me and my teammate Desmond Patton, we actually had a little two-day field work with him, where we got to work together and work on some things, over some plays. So it went really well.
Now, Mike, you got to help me out here, because I heard about what happened with the jersey number, and I know you're playing the receiver position. You're depending on this guy to get you the football. So tell me how that whole thing worked out, and why you didn't want to come off of 11.
Yeah, so it wasn't really like that. Like, it was so he had asked me about how tied I was to 11, and I said that I was pretty locked in. So I left that pretty, because like I didn't want to make him think that like I was completely locked in, and like telling him like straight up no, because that's not how it was, because it was a joint decision. And after that, like, it's like, all right, well, it's like no big deal, and I'll just change numbers. And I was shocked, because like I was like you're not, because like he never really asked for it like that, because I felt like he didn't want to like press me about it. So I was kind of shocked, because I thought that he was going to come in and be like, give me number 11, and like I was going to give it to him. But he was really cool, and that's not how it happened. Because usually, when a big-name guy comes in like that, I'm pretty sure that if he really wanted it, he probably could have took it, and there would have been nothing that I could do about it. And we just had a joint decision, and he decided that he didn't want it, and I was just like, all right.
I hear you on that. I hear you on that. We saw down in Tampa with Tom Brady and him having Chris Godwin come up off of number 12, but it seems that it worked out for them because they won a championship. So, Mike, I hate to have to ask you to revisit a tough playoff loss, but going back to that game up in Buffalo and that 4th and 4 right before halftime where there was that incompletion, Phillip Rivers was trying to get it to you in the back of the end zone. How often do you think about that play, and how often do you think about the playoff loss? Is it something that motivates you throughout the offseason?
Absolutely. That play haunts me forever because it's just one of those plays that's, like, so close. I think about that a lot, to be honest with you. Nobody's really asking about it, but I can see that perfectly right now, like an out-of-body picture right now of me stretched out and then just boom, right off the tip. I definitely think about that a lot, and it motivates me every day to get better, because my main focus this off season is I'm trying to double everything I did last year: catches, receiving yards, whatever, you know, knockdowns, blocks, all that. Like, I'm trying to double every single category, so I'm just working every single day to get that done.
Michael Pittman Jr. joining us here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Mike, before we let you go, two more for you. Number one, you, when you were in college, caught some balls from Sam Darnold. And he is a big topic of debate here in New York. What should the Jets do with him? Does he need a change of scenery? Have they helped him out? Is he still a legit top-notch potential franchise quarterback in the NFL? What are your thoughts?
I think so. I mean, I have nothing but good things to say about Sam. I've seen Sam do some of the most crazy plays. Just versus us in Lucas Oil, he broke like 3 tackles and threw a touchdown. Like, I was like, how is this guy not one of the best quarterbacks like in the NFL right now? I mean, I think that he has that caliber. I'm not a GM, like I'm not an NFL coach, so I don't know what is going to happen. But I know that he is going to find his way, whether it's with the Jets or whether it's somewhere else.
All right, well, that's really good perspective, and, you know, we'll see how it all works out with the Jets. As far as March Madness is going on right now, you're a football guy, but you got a little March Madness thing going on with Buffalo Wild Wings. Why don't you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So I am excited to say that I teamed up with Buffalo Wild Wings. So they are hosting a blazing challenge across 30 sports bars in the Indianapolis area. So it's basically the fastest time to eat 10 Carolina Reaper wings, and if you win a pair of tickets to the 2021 Final Four and championship game. And I actually completed it, so I am entering my name in that competition. 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
Wow. You like spicy.
Carolina Reaper. Oh, my God. That is unbelievable that you would even – eat one, much less 10 of, in 3 and a half minutes?
Yep. Well, a little more than 3.5 minutes, but Basically.
Wow.
Hey, well, good luck getting your taste buds back, and thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, that's Michael Pittman Jr. of the Colts. And, you know, maybe the most interesting of all of these offseason storylines, CC, maybe the most interesting turns out to be what Carson Wentz becomes with the Colts.
Oh, yeah, it's all right out there in front of him for Carson Wentz. If he doesn't have success in Indy, he's only got himself to blame, because you're talking about a team that's ready to go, and that's ultimately just a quarterback away. So he's got Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator when he had his best season in the National Football League. That's his head coach. He's got a really good offensive line, a top 10 defense to support him. If Carson Wentz can't get back to being a productive player in this league at the quarterback spot, then it's only his fault. I don't know what else to say. He's probably coming into this season with the most pressure of any player around the National Football League.
That's Chris Canty. I'm Bob Wischusen. Maybe some time for a few more phone calls when we get back at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Taking you until the top of the hour, filling in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Don't miss the biggest, baddest rematch at UFC 260. Heavyweight champion, is it Stipe Miocic? I'm not sure. Stipe Miocic and number one contender Francis Ngannou meet for the second time. A bunch of other fights as well. UFC 260, March 27th, exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Or sign up now to get UFC 260 and an annual ESPN Plus plan for $89.98. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. As my pronunciation guide was not at the ready and I butchered some UFC names. Bob Wischusen and Chris Canty here filling in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We'll try to squeeze a call in here. But, hey, Chris, real quick, where do you think Galladay ends up? We've been talking NFL free agency and the depression of the free agent market, it seems, for wide receivers. You think the Giants actually end up circling back and getting him? You think he goes someplace else? Oh, I'm having a hard time hearing Chris Canty. He can't hear me. I can here, I think, myself, and we'll maybe get to a telephone call, but I'm having a hard time. I think we lost connection with Chris Canty. So you know what? Let's get a call in here. Let's see who has been the most patient, and let's get to, I guess it's Donovan in Virginia, if he's still on hold and wants to talk to us. Donovan, you're up next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? I just got a question about my Raiders. So I like what we're doing in the offseason. Like, we signed to do John Brown from the Bills, you know, another speedster just to help spread the field out, help out with Henry Ruggs and all that. And all the veteran presence that we signed on the defense. My thing is, what are we trying to do with all this cap space for free? Because I don't want to trade Derek Carr because he has 24 quarter comebacks. Why would we trade somebody that's clutch? Is Russell Wilson still on the table, man? That's all I got, man.
I appreciate the call. I don't think they're going to go out and mortgage anything. I don't think they are the team for Russell Wilson. You know, I think their quarterback situation with Carr is good enough. Give them an offensive line. And you know, are you going to beat the Chiefs? You know, are they going to be an AFC West champion? I don't think so, but I agree with you. I do think that they have built a better team over the last 3 years than everyone thought Gruden would be able to build when he got the Khalil Mack deal done and everybody crucified him for it. So I'm more impressed a couple of years later after that than I thought I would be with what they've done that he and Mike Mayock have been able to put together. Before we get to the top of the hour, let us check in with, looks like, Rick in Florida. Rick in Florida joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. It's Rick and Davey from your old stopping ground, South Florida. Congratulations on all your success, man.
Thank you.
First of all, Rod Woodson is one of the few guys who was able to play with the Ravens and the Steelers. That's how he got his Super Bowl ring with the Ravens. My blockbuster is Liberty over Oklahoma State. But, Bob, the Deshaun Watson news, I think, is going to help my Dolphins in this sense. If your Jets take Zach Wilson, as everybody expects, then I think all the teams from 5 to 12 to the 49ers are going to give my Dolphins a king's ransom for that number 3 pick. I love Tua. I think we could use all those picks to build around them. I would love Jamar Chase, but if we trade a few spots down to, like, with Carolina or anywhere in the top 9, the guy that I really love and I think has future Hall of Famer written all over is Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida. I would love to see him.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate the stroll down memory lane. I love Kyle Pitts. I think he is an absolute monster waiting to happen. That'll do it for us. Max Kellerman takes over in just a moment on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.